want to share this morning a little bit about showers of blessing. Now, if we're looking for God to move, we need to expect God to pour out His showers upon us. In the last year, in the summer of last year, we met not like we've done any times previously, I think. You know, we've had times of prayer, which lasted a week or 2 weeks or something. But we got together last year, and we set aside originally 1 month, where we wanted to just meet with God, and we called it our mission month. And wasn't so much about going out and reaching out, but it was that we just wanted God to move in our midst and just lead us and guide us and speak to us. And one of the things God spoke to us right at the very early stages of that, what turned out to be 2 months, was that the very first thing they remember was that God was going to do something new in our situation. Perhaps we didn't know quite what that meant and what it was, but maybe we still don't even fully know what God wants to do, because I believe God's still working those new things in our life. But one of the other things that was said, and actually I intended to look at, I wrote down all the words and the prophecies and things that God gave. I meant to go through back through and just to refresh my memory exactly is what he said. It was along the lines of, it was about the rain and the umbrella. You know, when it rains, in the natural we put up umbrellas to keep ourselves dry. But the essence of what God was saying is that he wants us to take the umbrellas down so that we get wet. So that we get under the shower of blessing that he was going to pour out. That was the essence of it. It might not be exactly as it was said, but that's where the Lord was leading us. So I want to think this morning about showers of blessing. And I want to take a scripture and just look at what the scripture says. In the first book of Kings, chapter 18. 1 Kings, chapter 18. We're just going to read together. Well, I'm not going to read it through, but I'm going to just read a verse at a time, and then we're just going to see what God is saying in these scriptures. Starting at verse 41. Now, before we start reading, I'll just fill you in on what's been happening in the life of Elijah. Because this is the very first words of this verse, is then Elijah. So it's an event in Elijah's life. Now, if you know anything about the story of Elijah, you'll know that he went to King Ahab. And, you know, by the anointing of the Holy Spirit, spoke to Ahab and told Ahab that there would be no rain in the land. And it wasn't just that it wasn't going to rain, but he said, there'll be no rain until I say so. I said, well, what sort of man is Elijah, this prophet of God, that he can go to the king and say, you know, it's not going to rain anymore until I say so. You know, that's something important we need to learn, but I'm not going to get into that this morning. But, you know, God looked after Elijah. You know, there was no rain, when God shut up the heavens. God looked after him, God fed him. By mighty miracle, the Bible tells us of an occasion where the ravens came with bread and they came with meat and they fed Elijah. Now, if you know anything about ravens, you know the last thing they do is to give. You know, ravens are one of those birds that they come and they take, they steal. You know, there's other birds around that have got food, they fly in and take it out of their beaks. You know, if they get the opportunity. But ravens are thieves, but God commanded the ravens to feed Elijah. You know, then Elijah moved from beside the brook and went to a place where he met a little widow woman that looked after him. Then we get to 1 Kings chapter 18, where we see that Elijah, and this is quite a well-known episode in Elijah's life and ministry, where on Mount Carmel, he challenges 450 prophets of Baal to really a duel, if you like, not with swords or guns or anything like that, but he says, look, he says, now we're going to determine for ourselves who is God. Now you worship Baal and I worship Jehovah. So we're going to see who really is God, and he challenges them to this confrontation. You know, this has been preached many times, you know, they prayed and they sought Baal all day long. You know, cutting themselves with knives and rocks and trying to get the attention of Baal, and yet the thing was that it says the God that answered by fire would be the God that they would serve. And this false God was in no murmur, no sound, not even a breeze in the air. But then Elijah came to pray, and he prayed what was a very short prayer. And as soon as he prayed that prayer, God answered by fire, sent the fire, consumed the sacrifice. You know, and the people proclaimed that the Lord is God. And then we pick up the story in verse 41. So that's what's happened. There's been no rain on this land during all this time, during Elijah's situation with the ravens, with the widow woman, during the prophets of through this confrontation on Mount Carmel. So the land was very dry. The land is very dry. You know what happens if there's no rain? You know, we get in this country, we get a situation where there's no rain for a couple of months. You know, they start telling us that we can't use the hose pipes, we can't wash the cars, we can't water the gardens. They tell us to save water. And that's only after a couple of months of rain, no rain. But here, we had no rain for 3.5 years. Just imagine, you know, some of these cultures, some of these nations of the world, they go without rain for perhaps long periods of time, you know, many months, perhaps up to a year. You know, there's no food, nothing could grow. There's no refreshment for the animals. You know, many of the flocks and the cattle die because there's no rain. And this is what it was like. A dry land, a barren land, no crops. On top of that, the land was under the influence of this false god Baal, and under the control of a wicked queen, Jezebel. To all intents and purposes, it could have been really regarded a hopeless situation. Now, I'm reminded of the scripture in the book of Habakkuk, or Habakkuk's prayer, where he said, or that great proclamation, and he says, look, he says, the fig trees may not blossom. No blossom on the fig trees. The fields yield no food. The flocks cut off from the fold. You know, Habakkuk went on to say, but I'm going to rejoice in the Lord. You know, this, I can imagine that's what it was like in this situation here, in Elijah's life. Yeah, the trees weren't blossoming because there'd been no rain. There's no food in the fields. The cattle have been cut off, there's no cattle. And then Elijah announces to King Ahab in verse 41, he says, go up, eat and drink, for there is the sound of abundance of rain. Elijah lets those words loose into the atmosphere. 3.5 years previously, he spoke that there would be no rain. And it didn't rain. James tells us that, and if you look into James chapter 5, says Elijah was a man just like us. He prayed just the same way that we pray. He had the same frustrations that we go through. Yet when he said it didn't rain for 3.5 years. And now he's saying to King Ahab, he said, now that there's the sound of abundance, I can hear the rain. Elijah now is talking about rain. He's expecting rain. He's expecting God to move in on that land. He's talking, we would say today, language, we would just say he's speaking something by faith. But he's talking, expecting God to do something, because he has said it, because he has pronounced it now, and that's what God had told him to say to Ahab. So now he's released those words. Now he's expecting God to move and honor that word that he's spoken. You know, there's something stirring in his spirit that God was about to send rain. This is what he said. He says, look, I can hear the sound of abundance of rain. I don't know whether you ever noticed this. Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But when there's going to be a heavy storm, apart from the fact you can see the clouds in the sky, but very often, just before the rain comes, you can hear a rumble in the skies. You know, a little bit like a thunder, but not a thunderstorm economic. You can hear that sort of sound in the heavens of a rumbling as a storm approaches. I'm sure this is what Elijah heard in his spirit, the rumbling in the spirit that God was going to pour out his showers of blessing upon the land. You know, many people, if you listen to them today, there's a talk, there's a renewed talk about revival in the land. A lot of Christians are believing and expecting that God is going to do something around this time. Don't know exactly when, but they can hear the sound of abundance of rain. You know, this country has gone through a very barren land, a very barren time. Not so much, we have gone through a barren time physically, you know, with the economy and things, but in the spirit, it's been very barren. But people now, if you listen to some of the preachers and some of the teachers and, you know, God's man, the prophets, are talking about revival. They're talking about God doing something in this nation. There's a sound of abundance of rain, and they can hear it in the spirit. And then it says in verse 42, it says, so Ahab went up to eat and drink. That's what Elijah told him to do, go up, eat and drink. So he went up to eat and drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. This is the mountain that he's just challenged, these prophets of Baal. God's given a victory on that mountain. And now he goes up the top of Carmel, up that great mountain, which stands, I believe it is, and I looked it up, about 1,700 feet above sea level. Not a great mountain, but high enough. And he ascends this mountain. In actual fact, this has always been an interest of mine. Actually, the word Carmel there, the name Carmel means place of fruitfulness. And if you know anything about fruit and veg, you know that the Israeli brand name, or one of the Israeli brand names for their fruit, you'll see it stuck on things like their avocado pears and other things that come across. Constant, and their name is Carmel. That's what their brand name is. A place of fruitfulness. And that's where Elijah goes. It goes up to a place that's fruitful. Not so much perhaps physically, but where God is concerned for his life. Yes, where he had a great victory up Mount Carmel. And now he ascends Mount Carmel again. He's gone up from the brook Kishon, which runs at the foot of the mountain. Ascends the mountain, and there it says he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees. He's not hiding. This man is in prayer. He's praying. We've already had mentioned to us this morning about prayer. You know, so often a lot of our praying doesn't really break through. You know, we bring out our needs and our requests, and yeah, We're told to do that, to bring out requests to God in thanksgiving, but that's very much as far as we go. People say, well, pray it out. Well, we've got to pray it out. Well, prayer isn't just bringing our needs. You know, this is Elijah. He comes, he bows down, he puts his face between it. You know, he gets in touch with heaven. He's not just asking God, Lord, stay in the rain. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that type of prayer, but sometimes it takes a little bit more. That we've got to get through, break through. What we often call intercessory prayer. You know, actually praying until we get the answer. Praying until we get what we're seeking God for. And there's no inference in this scripture that Elijah stopped praying until the rain came. As you read it, he takes his servant up the mountain, but he bows down and prays, puts his face between his knees, and prayer always precedes revival. You look at any of the great moves of God in the past, prayer always precedes revival. In other words, prayer always comes before God moves. If you want God to move, then we've got to learn the lesson from Elijah and get on our knees and pray. And I'm just saying, God send a blessing. That's a prayer, but it's not a prayer that we're really committed to. When we get down and seek God, you know, intercede on behalf of the nation. Or some Christians call it praying the answer through. You know, praying until we get results. That's what Elijah does here. Now said he took his servant, because in verse 43 it says this. He says to his servant, go up now. Look toward the sea. And so he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. And seven times he said, go again. So Elijah stays in prayer. And he sends his servant and says, look, I want you to go and look out toward the sea. Now, if you've got a map in the back of your Bible and you don't know quite, you want to see, Mount Carmel is right on the coast. It's, if you've got maps, you want to see where the land of Israel goes up like this, from, I'll do it in the way you'd be looking at it. It goes up, there's a little bay, and then it carries on going. And it's right there on that bay, on that little bit of land that sticks out. And it looks out across the Mediterranean. You know that vast sea, what the Bible often calls the Great Sea, but the Mediterranean, it looks out westward over the Mediterranean. And from that high vantage point off Mount Carmel, you'd be able to see for miles and miles of open sea. And Elijah stays in prayer. Now this doesn't say this in the scriptures, but my guess is from looking at the map and looking at knowing the way that these people were in the east, Elijah would have had his back to the sea. Because my guess is that perhaps he would have put his bow down and faced towards Jerusalem. With his back to the sea. So he's not seeing what's going on behind him. So he sends his servant and says, go and look toward the sea. Why go and look toward the sea? Well, out of sea is the place where the clouds are formed. Out of sea is where the clouds are, where the water vapor rises to form the clouds. And then they come back in on the land. So go and look out toward the sea. Something else he says, you've got to look out, not look in. Don't focus inward, look out towards the sea. Look out to where the clouds are formed. Look out to where the blessing is going to come from. This is faith in action. You know, Elijah's putting his faith by sending his servant to go and look. And his servant goes and looks. The scripture says this in the Psalms. Psalm 121, a very well-known psalm, said, You know, I will lift up my eyes to the hills from whence comes my help. My help comes from the Lord. And that's where we're to look. Yeah, perhaps not look out towards the sea today, but look to the Lord from where our help comes from. You know, as I was waiting on the Lord this morning and just reading this, now the Lord spoke this to me. And I want to share with you this morning. Yeah, we're not to focus inwards, but we're to look out towards the sea, because we cannot see the answer while we're focused on the problem. You cannot see the answer while you're focused on the problem. You've got to be looking out. When you're looking in, you're looking at your problem, you're looking at the situation, you're thinking, well, how can, I just say you've got a bill that you can't pay. I'm not talking about, if you can't pay, any bill's a big bill, but, you know, you look at this big bill, you can say, well, you know, how can I sort this problem out? Well, you've got a number of options. If you want to pay a big bill, which you haven't got enough money to pay, and the options are this. This is one that I've come up with. One, you can say to yourself, well, maybe I'll go out and get more work. Get another job. Get some extra hours. Maybe I can earn the money. But yeah, that might take a few months to pay the bill. But you'll have a little bit extra income. And that's one option. If it's a really pressing bill, then perhaps that's not an option. You haven't got time to wait a few months until you've accumulated a bit more money. So you might think, well, I can ask friends and family, see if they can support and chip in, or brothers and sisters in the church, maybe they'll be able to help us out a little bit. Yeah, that's another option. Maybe there's the option, well, if they can't help out, there's a bank, maybe you can borrow the money. Get the money from somewhere. That's another option. Whenever we're focused on the problem, we're thinking about the problem, we're not looking at the answer. And God tells us to look out towards the sea, out where the answer comes from. Look out towards Him. You see, while you're thinking about how borrowing money, earning extra, trying to work the problem, maybe you're not listening to what God wants to say. God might want to say, well, I want to settle it some other way. You know, there have been occasions, now I know they're not often, you don't often come like this, but there have been times where perhaps the person you owe the money to, or the company you owe sent you the bill, they might say, well, just forget it. Just forget it. Treat it as paid up. Now, we'd like a few of those. But maybe while we're focused on how we can earn the money, how we can borrow, we're not even considering the fact that God may want to bless us in another way. So we're going to look to Him. Look out towards the sea. Look out to where the clouds are going to fall. Look out to where the clouds are going to rise. So Elijah sends his servant. He says, look, he said, now go and look towards the sea. And his servant went. Alright. You can just picture this man, God, he bowed down, his head between his knees, his face to the ground, seeking God. My guess is he doesn't even look up to look at his servant. He just says, look, just go look toward the sea. And that man runs, or for the first couple of times, you know, runs to the edge of the, where he can look out over the sea. And he looks, and he scans the whole of the horizon. And he looks, and he looks back, and he comes back again. Nothing. Well, what's he looking for? But he says, nothing. Don't even know what I'm really looking for, but there's nothing out there. Just plain blue. So he comes back to the prophet, and he says, Elijah, there's nothing. And Elijah's still with his face in his knees, says, go again. So he goes again, does the same thing. Perhaps this time he starts to mutter to himself, you know, know, what does this man think he is? You know, there's nothing there a minute ago, so what should it be? But he goes and he does the same. He looks, scans the horizon, scans it, nothing. He comes back to Elijah. No, Elijah, there's nothing. Elijah says, go again. He does it again. Comes back, there's nothing. Elijah says, go again. He does this 7 times. Now what's this man thinking on the 7th time as he's going there? What is wrong with this man of God? Doesn't he? Yeah, they spend nothing. But because Elijah sent him. Seven times Elijah sends this man. What's Elijah doing? He's praying. He's setting his mind on things above, as Colossians says, not on things on the earth. He's not looking so much at the problem, the no rain. He's got his mind on heaven. So he says to himself, keep going, keep doing this. 7 times. Now what could have said that? 7, if you know anything about Bible numbers, is the number of perfection. Or until the appointed time. Keep doing it until you get the answer. That's what he's saying. Just remember what Jesus said to Peter. Peter came to him with a question once and said, how many times have I got to forgive my brother? Have I got to forgive him 7 times in a day? And Jesus said, no, he said, not 7. He said, 70 times 7. In other words, don't ever stop forgiving your brother. No, he's not telling you because somebody's sinned against you 491 times in a day and that last time they don't get forgiven, he doesn't let them off. He's saying, do it all the time. Be consistent in giving. In forgiving. And that's really what he's saying here. Just be consistent in prayer. Keep on keeping on until you get the answer. It's not just about going 7 times. It's about keeping on. Keeping focused. Then on the 7th time, verse 44 tells us this. That then it came to pass, or in the fullness of time, the 7th time, he got to the edge of the mountain where he had been 6 times previously, and he begins to scan the horizon. He thinks, what's that out there? No, he said, he said, there is something out there. And he said, but he comes back to Elijah. Look, he said, there's a tiny cloud. It's no bigger than my hand. So I see it rising up on the horizon. Way out to sea. And that's all Elijah needed to hear. Just those. There is one cloud. Right on. It's not a big cloud. In actual fact, I think this cloud is probably so small that if his servant wasn't as diligent as he was, he may have even missed it. But he saw this cloud, just a tiny little thing, right out on the horizon. And he comes back with this news. Yes, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand, rising up out of the sea. And Elijah got excited. Now, he stops praying because he's got the answer. There's a cloud on the horizon. He gets excited, he tells Ahab, he says, look, Ahab, he says, go and say to Ahab. Tells his servants, go and tell Ahab, look, prepare the chariot and get going before the rain stops you. And we've got a tiny little cloud way out to sea. It's probably just a few faint white things in the distance. But now, what's he said? He said he's heard the sound of abundance of rain before he ever sent his servant to go and look. Now he sees this cloud rising up out of the oil. This cloud's rising up, this little thing. A small cloud, but not insignificant. And Elijah gets excited. Yes, the rain's going to stop us unless we can get going. Now what happens? In verse 45 it says, now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain, and Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. I don't think this whole episode here lasted much more than a few hours. I don't think Elijah was on that mountain very long. And we've got three verses here, 44, 43, 44, 45. 43, there's no clouds. And 44, there's just a very small, insignificant looking cloud. But which wasn't insignificant because it was the beginnings of the blessing, or the beginnings of the answer to the nation's needs. And in verse 45, we've got sky thick with big black storm clouds. You know how long it takes for storm clouds to roll in? Not very long. You can see it even in the natural, when you're looking up in the sky. You can have it 1 minute and be nice, and within a couple of minutes, the clouds, black clouds, start rolling in. And it says there was a very heavy rain. A great rain. A great storm. I've been in a few heavy storms where you can't see much more than a few feet in front of the windscreen of the car when you're driving. And you're thinking, well, if it gets any heavier, you can actually have to stop because you can't go anymore. And that's what Elijah says to Ahab. He says, look, you better get going because this rain is going to stop you if you don't move. What happened? The rain came. The rain fell. The rain refreshed the land. 3.5 years of drought is now over. The showers of blessing have fallen. And I believe if you listen to what the men of God are saying now, yes, there's a sound of abundance rain. God is about to send the rain. He's about to do something really spectacular. You know, when just a few hours earlier from this, when the fire fell from heaven and consumed the sacrifice, you know, God made that declaration that He was God. He was God. And Elijah, His servant, now claims that God, you thought that was spectacular. When God consumed the sacrifice, he says, the rain's about to come. The shower's about to come. There's a sound of abundance of rain. And you better get ready. Because this rain will stop you in your tracks. Now maybe this morning, we're all going through different situations, we've all got different things, and we've just been touched on in prayer, and many different needs that we pray for this morning. But let's hear what God is saying today. There's a sound of abundance of rain. Yes, there's a cloud as small as a man's hand rising up out of the sea. Actually, the title of my message this morning was, there's a cloud on the horizon. You know, there is a cloud on the horizon this morning. You may not be able to, you may not think it's very big. You may just be like a small as a man's clenched fist. Now my fist is very small. No, my hands are small compared to a lot of men. But a fist, a clenched fist, just a very small thing. Just a cloud that size can bring a great rain. To bring heavy rain. You know, if we're expecting God to do something, if we're looking to God to do something, let's keep looking out to where the clouds are coming from. Just look to Him. Look, lift up our eyes to heaven. Keep praying. Keep looking. Keep on expecting. You keep trusting God's going to meet the needs. And that cloud will soon become a storm cloud. And the showers of blessing will soon fall. You know, there is a cloud on the horizon. Let's prepare ourselves. I'm going to say, let's get prepared to get wet. You know, God's going to send his shouts. And when they come, let's not put up the umbrellas. Because that's what we often do. You know, God begins to move. We say, oh, is it different? And we put up an umbrella, a spiritual umbrella, and say, I'll be all right. Don't let that fall on me. I want to stay dry. I want to just observe what's good. Then we end up finding that we've missed it. Because God's moved on. That blessing's moved on. I don't know where the showers come. Let's take the umbrellas there. Let's stand out. Whoa, let's get wet. Now there is a cloud on the horizon. There's a sound of abundance around, and it's coming. Let's expect it.